5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, let's do this. Get set. Headed for the open
door. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio.
Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
Thank you, Kyle, and welcome to Running Flat Radio. It's Chris Uzinski in the studio. Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star is also in the studio with me this evening, and also Carla Lozen-Abson. Welcome. This is our first show. We're really excited about being able to bring to you really a show about running, walking, training, and like how-to. And that's really what Kelly's specialty is working with the how to start running. So we're going to bring Kelly in a couple minutes. And we'd also like to talk about nutrition and diet. And we have lots of contributors over the next number of weeks that can talk to us about eating and supplements and different therapies that you can take on. We're also talking about gear. Something about running, it's not just a fashionable sport, but it's also a gear-intensive sport. And so we're going to have Gary and Joe from the Running Factory on from time to time talking about what's the latest gear for the latest season. And we're also going to go take you through the calendar of runs, because usually when you start running, you're running for a purpose. And the purpose is usually a 5K, a 10K, a 21K, maybe even a full marathon, and what those full marathons and other races are on the calendar for the next year. So we're going to take you through that. And also, so when you're thinking of what's going to happen in the next hour, we're going to have a special guest on, Boston race director Dave McGillivray, who's a legend in running. He'll be joining us at about 16 or 17 past the hour. And then at about 7:45, we're going to have Michael Doyle, who is the editor-in-chief of Canadian Running Magazine, talking about the latest running news in Canada and the United States. And then at 7:55, an interesting guy, if you know a lot of runners in this community, Tony Chow is going to join us. He's a guy who spent all of last week in minus 39 degree Fahrenheit weather running and cycling to work. And we're going to ask Tony if he's had a medical checkup and how did he do that? So it's going to be a really interesting hour. And I ask you to join in. And also what you can do is listen to us live on AM800. CKLW.com. There is a live stream there. And also, if you have questions that you want us to ask the different folks, you could, if you went to runningflat.com, at the top of the page, there is Running Flat Radio. Hit that. It'll take you directly to our Facebook page. And that what you're able to do is ask us the questions online, and we'll be able take care of those questions for you with special guests. I'd ask now that Kelly, if we can talk a little bit about how do people start running, especially, you know, we've all made New Year's resolutions and we want to get running. So where do you find people starting?
Well, Chris, that's actually an excellent question, because right now you're absolutely right. Everyone's got that New Year's resolution that they want to get healthy, they want to get running, they want to lose weight. And quite honestly, losing weight, probably the best way you can do is cardio, and running, you're going to just melt the pounds off. Right now, I coach at the Running Factory. Every Monday night, we just started actually last night at 6:15, we have our Learn to Run clinic. And what's kind of cool about this clinic is you have runners who are virtually coming right off the couch, those people who have had those New Year's resolutions, maybe bucket list things that they want to learn how to run. And we put them through this right now is a 9-week program, and it's pretty much a walk-run course. So, you know, the way it's designed is these people are coming out, they're going to walk a couple minutes, they're going to run a couple minutes. And, you know, over the course of 9 weeks, it's pretty amazing. I think a lot of them are pretty shocked by the end that they're actually running 5K, which is quite a feat in itself.
And how many folks do you actually have in a winter session to learn to run in this weather?
And that's what's pretty amazing. Last night when I went there, I didn't know how many people we'd have, because I know last week was crazy cold. We had about 30 or 40 people.
That's
and
amazing.
All of them smiling, all of them pretty eager to get out and run.
That's amazing. 30, 40 people in that kind of weather is phenomenal numbers. And it's really, that's the trend in Windsor, with all due respect. I mean, we've seen that, where we've seen the large fun runs coming into town. and also regionally taking over, and people want to get involved. People want to do better for themselves. And really, that's kind of what this show is really about, is trying to improve yourself and really get inspiration out of these folks. So like over the next couple of weeks, you want to talk about inspiration. We have John Stanton in next week, who is the founder of the Running Rooms right across North America. We have Bart Yasso, chief running officer for Rodale, Runner's World, Men's Health, Women's Health. I mean, the biggest publisher in the world. We've also got the authors of the Paleo Diet, which is the hottest diet book in the world right now. They have a new one, Paleo Diet for Athletes. That's out. So we're going to be talking to them. We've got Dr. Gabe Merkin. That's an old name from 15 years ago here on AM800, who is a fabulous doctor, the guy who invented sports medicine, invented stress and recovery for Olympic athletes. Fascinating conversation with him about where that's gone. Nancy Hobbs is going to join us. Nancy is a pioneer in trail running in the United States. And, you know, we're working with folks like Dr. Oz for hopefully being here in March with us, in late March. And after that, we've also got Dick Trum, who is the person who inspired Terry Fox to run as the first person to first amputee to ever complete a marathon, the New York Marathon in the early 80s. So, you know, when you talk to folks like that, people who've done that, and they've also been in the same place that we've all been, which is hard to motivate yourself, hard to get out that morning. Oh, it's really crappy out this morning. You know, it's raining, you know, and you know, the dog doesn't even want to come with you. So when you look at those situations, and we all have that, you know, dragging your butt out of bed to get in that early run, that's the beauty of it. We all share those same issues. We'd love to hit the snooze button, but you know what? If I don't get this 5-miler, this 10-miler, if I don't get my 20-miler in this weekend somewhere, it's going to affect my training. But we're going to talk about that, because it's all about getting from the couch to a 5K, and there's lots of opportunities, and no matter what your level of running is, it's okay.
But do you know what's really cool about that, Chris, is over the last little bit with the clinics that I've been doing and just with the groups, the people that are coming out, the people that want to learn how to run, they're not your 16, your 17-year-old's track stars. These are your 40 to 50 to even 60-year-old everyday people who've just decided, you know what, running's something I want to do. And you know what's the most amazing part about all that? You go to races, as you can probably admit to. It's your 40-somethings that are killing the courses. It's amazing how fast these people are. And you think, really, it would be the 24s that would be the great runners. But it's the 40-somethings, and I love it. And like women that age, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
My old friend Eddie Whitlock, who holds a world's record for marathon running in his 80s, who is a marvel, ceases to amaze me. Eddie would tell me a story that he didn't start running until he was 40 years old.
Very cool.
And what an amazing guy he is. And we'll try to get him on the air, because talk about a freak of nature. I mean, the guy trains, you know, in a cemetery, and he doesn't drink anything for an entire marathon. So whatever we talk about, nutrition and hydration, which will be big topics that we're going to talk about as it gets warmer and the summer starts hitting, we're going to disregard what Eddie tells us, because he's just a freak of nature. But yeah, you know, so the show is really all about you, the listener, and it's about helping you guys kind of find that motivation to be better to yourself, better for your family, and be able to actually get out there and not have that anxiety about joining into a 5K. You know, I don't have the right clothes, or everybody here knows each other. Well, no one knows everybody, and everyone has their first race. And the beauty of runners is we're so accepting in our community. Your level of
Absolutely.
Running, you know, I've run with many professional athletes. I could never, ever keep up with them anytime in my running career, but they would always come by. They would always, you know, run with you. They would always give you some words of encouragement, give you some running tips as well. And that's the beauty of the running community. We're always so giving in what we do, in our approach to working with each other. And it's absolutely fabulous. And I'm so happy. I got to tell you, and I know we got some executives here from AM800. I'm so excited to be on AM800, because AM800 has been with me since the very beginning of Running Flat. Mm-hmm. You know, 8 years ago when we embarked on the World Alzheimer's Day Run, which was an ultra marathon for those years, those first number of years that we started. It's so exciting to be here because when I was a kid, when I was in university, I worked here as a board op. Kyle's laughing at me, but it's true. It's true. I worked as a board op here, paid my way through university that way, and lived under the great Big Eight kind of monarch. It was awesome. So really excited to be here. Running Flat Radio is brought to you by Oya Solar. It's www.oyasolar.com, mostly for commercial development and financing of solar projects. And also our friends over at Walkerville Brewery. Enjoy fresh and drink local. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Just how cold does it get in Canada? Janet from Kingston tweets,
"It is so cold. I had to scrape my dog off a fire hydrant."
Tragic. That's why the Volkswagen Winter Relief Program will cover your first payment on the 2014 Jetta. Now from just $168 a month for a 48-month lease. Tweet your plight to hashtag VW Winter Relief and you could be featured in our ads. 566 down, 1.9% APR. Visit VW.ca or your Volkswagen dealer for details.
The Lynn Martin Show.
Yeah, I love your show and I'm very thankful for you.
The only open line talk show in Windsor Essex.
What gives you the extra power is truth.
On Wednesday's show, what do you as a man want for women and from women? And women, what do you want for yourselves? It's one of the things we'll talk about next time we get together.
When you hear about it, don't just talk, react. The Lynn Martin Show. Weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800.
Right now, when you become a new client at ING Direct by opening a TFSA, you can get a $25 bonus and 2.5% interest until April 30th. So you can start maxing out your contribution instead of your credit card and enjoy the finer things in life, like a warm, sunny beach, where you don't have to put on 8 layers of clothing just to go outside or scrape your windshield ever again. Max out your contribution today. Details at ingdirect.ca/maxout. Forward banking.
Her mom's purse was just lying there. Nancy reached in and took a cigarette. She just grabbed it out and then we snuck up to her attic. Oh, our hearts were pounding. We had time for one drag and then we thought we heard someone. So we ran to the washroom and flushed it. But that bitter taste lingered. I've been trying and trying to quit for 20 years. This time, I'm finally ready to quit.
Quitting isn't easy. Talk to your doctor about non-nicotine prescription options to help you successfully quit.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, about an inch of snow ending after midnight, then a 60% chance of flurries, gusty wind, and a low of -4. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, 60% chance of flurries, a high of -2. Wednesday night, a 60% chance of flurries early in the evening, a low of -8. Thursday, cloudy, 60% chance of flurries, and a high of -3. Once again, about an inch of snow ending after midnight tonight, then a 60% chance of flurries, gusty wind, and a low of -4.
Make any night the night at the City Grill and Level 3 Vodka Emporium. Get together with friends or that special someone and share the City Grill experience. Discover Windsor dining the way it should be. The City Grill, the finest steaks, the freshest seafood selections, an award-winning wine list, and complimentary valet. Come for dinner at the City Grill, then take the elevator upstairs to Level 3 Vodka Emporium and stay for drinks. For reservations, visit thecitygrillwindsor.com. 375 Olette, downtown.
Guests, contests, local events. Follow The Morning Drive on Twitter.
I feel like I know all the people on The Morning Show, so it's nice to see their update.
At MikeLisa800.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. And a couple of things I just wanted to mention before we actually get into our feature interview today is that we have a number of races that we are open registration for. If you go to runningflat.com, we have Le Chocolat, which is our Mother's Day primer. It's the one that's been completely out of control. It's a little more than halfway sold out. It is the run. It's Windsor's only half marathon. And the run itself has a 10K and a 5K component. It's a Mother's Day primer. It's all about the moms. We have firemen on the course. We have lots of chocolate. And the big feature of this race is we always give away a purse. So last year we gave away coach purses. This year we're giving away a 3-liter box bag of wine that looks like a purse. It's a great giveaway, and we tremendous feedback from that race. And we also have, of course, the Run for Heroes Marathon in Amherstburg, which has a 42 component, which is the Canada's most southern Boston qualifier, along with a half marathon, 5K, 10K. Registration is pretty brisk for that. And we'll talk about the other races in a bit. But what I wanted to first do is I want to get into this interview with our good friend Dan McGillivray, race director from Boston, the Boston Marathon. Really quickly, in 1978, Dave McGillivray ran across the United States. In 82, he ran the Boston Marathon in the 3:14 blindfolded, being escorted by two guides, and raised more than $10,000 in 1982. That's gonna be like $150,000 today. He's also done a number of endurance events, including running up the Empire State Building for 1,575 steps in 13 minutes and 27 seconds, which is an incredible time. And he's also founded his own foundation, the DMSE Children's Fitness Foundation, to really support and promote fitness with kids, really to kind of combat childhood obesity. He is the race director for the Boston Marathon, and he has been the race director for a number of years, and we can talk about that. And he has a book called The Last Pick, which I encourage you to pick up and read. It's on Amazon. And let's be blunt. This guy is a runner. He's a legend in our sport. He's logged more than 150,000 miles for charity runs, raising millions of dollars for worthy causes. His best is a 2:29, and he is an 8-time Ironman. My good friend David, welcome to the Running Flat Radio Show.
Hey, good to be on your program. Thanks very much for having me.
It's an honor having you on our first show, and thank you for joining us. So, you know, as a race director, I really want to start off by telling you that someone asked me that. They said, why do you want to be a race director? And it's such an interesting question. I think you've probably seen this over the last number of years, that race directing has changed from being a race director to being really more of an event director, because we produce amazing events today versus what we did 20, 30 years ago. And that's really the explosion that we see in the running industry. One of the things as a race director I do is I sit at the end of the finish line watching all our folks come in for the simple matter that I am not off of my watch until every single runner is back over that race line with their loved one for that day, because it's my only focus that day is to get everybody back. And what happened at Boston last year was incredible. And I really wanted to kind of explore that feeling with you in regards to yourself and, of course, how it affected your volunteers, because you have an incredible amount of volunteers that you have to look after as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, to address the question quickly as far as being a race director, right after I had done that run across the United States in 1978, I opened up an athletic footwear and clothing store in my hometown. And then I started putting on a few events to promote the store. And then I realized I like putting on events more than shoes on people's feet. So I just developed my own company, and everything I managed, I owned because I created it, because back then there weren't that many events. And so now it's all changed. But what's interesting is when back then, what I do for a living, I used to mumble, you know, I'm a race director. And they're like, you know, what? What is a race director? What do you do? You know, put a chalk mark on the road and yell go, and and then give them all a bowl of beef stew and tell them to go home. And I say, well, essentially, I guess you're right. It's pretty much what I do. Yeah. And now when people ask me what I do, is I say, well, I help raise the level of self-esteem and self-confidence of tens of thousands of people in America. And it's so changed from being a very competitive industry and environment, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, and now it's all about participation and feeling good about yourself and, you know, making a commitment, setting a goal, earning the right, participating in, crossing that line, and again, going home feeling good about yourself. So I get an awful lot of satisfaction, even though it's arduous, it's labor-intensive to do this, recognizing and realizing that a lot of people are able to fulfill goals and live out dreams because of people like you, Chris, and myself, and others like us who put on these events. So, you know, I picked the right profession, if you will, after 32 years and 1,000 events. So, thinking about it, I'm happy where I am today.
It is an incredible thing to be able to do this and sit back and see how many lives you've changed. Especially since we do a lot of crisis management, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past, and I've been to presentations with a lot of your guys at Running USA about crisis management, and can you give us a sense after that day of how what was the basic feeling within your staff that you had to work with?
Well, again, you know, I'm a runner. You know, I've always been a runner, but I'm also now a race director. It's a business. So, you know, I took the job as being race director of the Boston Marathon. I had to make a difficult decision. Do I run in it or run it? And, you know, not wanting to be denied either one of them, I said, well, why can't I do both? So that's what happened on that day, is that everything was going great. The weather was cooperating. I was at the start, and then I get on the lead motorcycle. I was going down course. Everything was great along the course. Got to the finish. Everything was great at the finish. Walked the area. Went into the medical tent. Low on casualties. Everything was great. And typically what I end up doing is, you know, when the majority of people are finished and everything seems to be an automatic pilot, and because I have a great team and supporting cast and delegated well and everyone's an expert, I'm able to sort of check out and head back to the start and do my run. And typically I finish last, you know, because I start so late. And that's what happened this year. I got back out to the start at 2:47, and then I got the phone call at 2:52 that there were some explosions at the finish. And, of course, you can imagine what was going through my mind at the time. You know, number one is a little bit of a sense of guilt. Why am I here and not there? But I get over that quickly. You know, I was trying to ascertain how credible is this information. And then knowing that my own family and my wife and 9-year-old and 7-year-old were right there at the finish sitting in the bleachers, I wasn't sure whether or not, you know, they were hurt. So I tried to contact them, and of course the cell service went down, so nobody could contact anyone else.
Sure.
And the state police basically escorted me back to the finish, going 110 miles an hour down the Mass Turnpike, and we got back in 20 minutes, and I entered the secured area, and it had been pretty much evacuated by then.
Right.
And I went into the medical tent, and I saw a lot of patients, and none of them were runners, and left the medical tent and went to go to the finish line to find my family. And the defining moment happened where a police officer just stopped me and he said, you can't go up there. And I said, well, I'm the race director. And he said, I don't care who you are. It's a crime scene and you can't go up there. And that's when I realized, you know, obviously how serious this was. And it was, you know, a race that I've been directing now for 26 years was totally taken out of my hands. And so I said, well, I have to then get back to work. And I went down to where the baggage buses were and started helping to reunite runners with their family and all that. So,
Dave, that day was
difficult, obviously, for everyone involved.
Dave, can you hold that thought for 2 seconds? We have to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to finish off that thought with you. You're listening to Running Flat on AM 800 CKLW.
AM 800.
Well, as far as news concerned, we get everything from AM 800.
CKLW.
I could stream you on the internet or my phone. I listen to you more than I watch TV.
Local news first.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
The expressway is closed in both directions between Huron Church and Broadway until 9 tonight. Hydro lines are down at Ojibwe Parkway and Broadway after a truck hit a pole this afternoon. Matchett Road is closed because of construction, and Huron Church and Malden are slow moving because of the mess. LaSalle police say the best way to get into LaSalle is by using Howard and Walker. The head of Chrysler Canada is worrying about consequences when governments don't partner with industry. Reed Bigland says the next generation of the Chrysler minivan will require an investment of over $1 billion from Canadian governments if it's to be built in Windsor. He hopes to have a decision soon. And the downtown Adventure Bay Water Park should be open Saturday morning if everything goes according to plan. The Technical Standards and Safety Authority says it doesn't see any problems and final approval should come by Friday. AM 800 Sports, the Detroit Lions have hired new coach Jim Caldwell. The Leafs are in Boston tonight, right now tied 1-1 in the first period. The Canadiens are home to the Devils, and that game is just about to get underway. The Essex 73s are hosting Dresden, and Essex is up 1-0 in the first. From the AM 800 Weather Center, tonight about an inch of snow ending after midnight, then a 60% chance of flurries, gusty wind, and a low of -4. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 3 Celsius, that's 37 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Huzinski. Joining us on our line right now is Dave McGivory, the race director for the Boston Marathon. He was just recounting his horrific day of last year at the Boston Marathon, and he had just gotten back to the finish line. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it was our role was obviously to try to reunite upwards to 6,000 people with their family and friends, and it was difficult because of the fact that, you know, unlike if there was a fire in a building, we isolated it and you stay away from there and we circumvent the affected area. Here, we didn't know whether there were more explosives all over the place, and it was so difficult to ask your volunteers to sort of stick around and help out and whatnot when, you know, they could be in harm's way too. But when it was all said and done, obviously, you know, the first responders, a lot of volunteers, they ran to the bombs, to the explosions, to help people who are in need.
Yep.
And that's the way this whole thing has gone for the last 7-8 months, is that the support has been amazing. The victims have been inspiring. I think they picked the wrong community.
I'm right, they did.
The running community is strong, is vibrant. The solidarity that the running community throughout the United States, the world, has been absolutely off the charts. So we're recovered and we're moving forward, and we will not be denied our running freedom. And we're obviously knee deep into the planning for the 2014 race.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Kelly Steele. Just had a quick question. I've been to Boston a couple times, and I know Boston has a ton of security. I've been out to Athletes Village. I've seen the police on top of the school. I've been greeted with them with the dogs getting off the buses. Now, you know, I'm sure you've had the question. Was there really anything more you guys could have done that day to have prevented that?
Well, obviously that's a difficult question, and you know, to be quite honest with you, I'm in the business of putting on road races, not in the public safety business. We leave that to our public safety partners. And with us, obviously, we have agencies, the federal, local, state agencies. You know, we have National Guard soldiers and state police, and the list goes on and on and on and on, 8 cities and towns. So you can only imagine the complexity of all of this. And we have regular meetings, planning sessions, hypothetical tabletop sessions. I mean, we go through this and through this and through this. So it's really a question that they would have to answer more than me, because my focus is more on the race than on the public safety side of things. But put it this way, I mean, I think we do as much, if not more, than any other race in the world and when it comes to that area. But
yep.
You know, we'll obviously be quite focused on it again this year.
Will there be different things in place this year that runners have to look forward to, or that are going to, like someone was mentioning, possibly see-through bags and stuff like that when they're checking their belongings?
Yeah, we'll be sort of making an announcement within the next 2 to 3 weeks probably as to what everything is going to be like for the runners. You know, a lot of the public safety side of things you won't see. It'll be there, but you won't notice it. But there are some things that, you know, we're going to have to do, and we appreciate all the participants, you know, patience with us. We're just trying to keep everyone safe. So, you know, some people may think some of the measures might be a little bit, I wouldn't call it extreme, but, you know, a little bit to their inconvenience. But I'd rather inconvenience someone slightly and keep them safe than sort of jeopardize anyone's safety. So, but we have a good plan, and we're very confident that it's going to be a safe and wonderful experience for everybody who participates in any fashion, whether it be as a runner, participant in the race, as a volunteer, as a spectator, whatever it might be. You know, the focus of the world, obviously, is going to be on Boston on April 21st.
And I'm sure the fact that so many people once again were on the button the day Boston opened to get back in probably is a pretty good feeling for you, because you know that, you know what, runners still want to go to Boston. Runners still aren't going to let this kind of thing, are not going to let this kind of thing get them down. That has to make you feel pretty good.
Well, it certainly does. And I mean, on the one hand, I suppose you don't know what to expect, but we, you know, obviously being a runner myself and understanding the business and understanding the mentality of runners and whatnot, and their endurance and their capacity for dealing with challenges. I mean, we pretty much knew that, you know, we were going to have to expand the field to accommodate the incredible demand. And so we did, and obviously it filled up pretty much right away, as did other races following April 15th. I mean, yeah. You go around the country, around the world, and there were no races that I'm aware of that, you know, that were down on their field size. If anything, people grew and people sold out quicker. So the response, again, has been nothing short of miraculous, and you know, such a good feeling about the industry we're involved in.
We saw the same thing with Run for Heroes. Run for Heroes is one of the fastest and flattest Boston qualifiers in the country. And and absolutely, we were fielding calls all summer long about people saying, "Well, when's Boston opening? When's the closing? You know, how do we get involved? What happens here?" And unfortunately, you filled up. I think the week before we went off, but the year before, everyone who actually ran it qualified and ran last year. So you know, it's just the way that your calendar goes, and the way your sessions fill up. According to runners. Yeah. So, and we know that changes every year. So, you know, it was interesting. I was talking to Dean Karnazes, you know, uh-huh. world famous ultra marathoner, and the folks who are listening. And this is his quote, because I told him, I said, "Well, I'm talking to Dave on Tuesday night." And he says, "Dave is a great idol of mine." He goes, "Admire all the work that he's accomplished." And you know, that's high praise, and it's incredible the work that you have done to date. What I do want to do in the last 2 minutes, Dave, is you were very public on your blogs within the last couple of months about your health, and I'd like to talk about that, because the most important thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to get people into running on this show, and we're trying to tell them that the first thing you do is you want to go see a cardiologist, you want to go to your doctor, and you want to get checked out, and you want to make sure that they give you a clean bill of health so you can actually start training. So what I wanted to do is I just wanted to kind of leave that with you, and if you could tell us a little bit about your health scare that you've had within the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously having run about 150,000 miles, 129 marathons across the country, up the East Coast, Ironman, and all this other stuff, you know, we get a little bit of the feeling that we're invincible. You know, we have that Superman, Superwoman mentality. And even if we have a little hurt here, a little pain there, we blow it off, or we say, we can get through this. And sometimes you're not paying as much attention to it as you probably should. Make a long story short, in the last year and a half, as I've been heading out for my run, I've been feeling a difficulty in breathing, and like I'm running at altitude. So I thought it was something pulmonary-wise or whatnot. Had all these tests, known the man, EKGs and echocardiograms and everything else. And it showed nothing. And, you know, people were saying to me, you know, that you're in a good bill of health. And I said, well, the good news is you found nothing. The bad news is you found nothing.
You found nothing.
Because I know there's something there, and I need an answer. You know, I need to know what it is before I can fix it. And so just recently, 3 months ago, I just went to my cardiologist, and I said, you got to give me the big boy test. You know, I need to down and dirty, deep stuff, and because there's something there. And my, you know, the good news is I'm fit, and other parts of my body are compensating for the parts that are ill, but the fitness masks the underlying problem.
And
so just because you're fit doesn't mean you're healthy. And so they did a CAT scan, and they found some calcification, and then they pulled me right in and did a catheterization and an angiogram, and, you know, it showed some stuff, and some of it was in the gene pool, you know, but some of it is, you know, I always felt, you know, I wasn't abusive from my diet, but I always thought the furnace is hot enough, anything and everything is going to burn.
Yep.
Well, you put bad grade gas in your car, it's going to burn too, and the car's going to run, but it's going to gunk up the engine in the final analysis, and that's what was going on. And so I just made a decision. I was going to do a 180, even at the age of 59. I was going to change so many different things. So I did. And in 3 months, I dropped my cholesterol level 65 points. I lost 24 pounds. I didn't really have it to lose, but it's nice to be at a lower weight. And now I feel like I can run a lot faster right now. And I feel as strong as I've ever been. And the last, I guess, the take home, the lesson learned in all of this is just what I said before, is that I've realized for the first time, you know, I spent my whole life working out, trying to be fit, not trying to be healthy. And so, again, just because you're fit doesn't mean you're necessarily healthy. And, you know, everyone should get checked out. Everyone should just be sure that, you know, everything is working in good order. I can count on both hands friends of mine, personal friends of mine, who are great athletes, Olympic trials, all that, who went out for a run and never came home.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we all got to just pay attention and, recognize that just because you're fit doesn't mean you're healthy.
And on that note, it's exactly what we talk about at Running USA and other events, that when we talk about these heart conditions and the heart attacks that we find in our industry, it's because they're undiagnosed heart conditions that no one has taken care of.
Right.
And that's why these things occur. And it really kind of taints the industry when it happens. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Detroit when the 20-year-old went down in the half marathon back in 2009, right next to me. And I've never forgot that day. But what's interesting is that that's something that we need as a sport to continue to promote, that our announcers shouldn't be encouraging people to, you know, go to their 125th percentile. Is across the finish line, and we need to keep working on that together as an industry. And on that note, I will see you in a couple of weeks down in San Diego, and I look forward to that. And thank you very much for joining us on Running Flat Radio.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having such a show. I mean, I think more cities throughout, you know, North America should have running shows like yours. I think they're great. So thanks very much for having me on the show.
Dave, you're an inspiration, and we're all thinking about you guys in Boston. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Take care, Chris.
It's an 83-point inspection of your Ford.
For only how much?
$59.99.
What does it include?
An oil change, tire rotation, vehicle report card.
Vehicle report card?
That's a checklist of everything we inspected.
Why do they offer it?
Because you may have questions.
And
Ford trained professionals have an answer to every question.
Neat, eh?
It is neat. And it's part of what we do to keep your Ford running smoothly.
So what should you be aware of?
Parts unknown.
Who should you see for conditions and details?
Your participating Ford store.
Taxes extra?
Yep.
disaster happen. A faulty wire, a leaky pipe, a fallen tree. These unfortunate events can destroy your home and property within seconds. Disasters cannot be controlled. How you choose to deal with it can. Alpine Construction has been restoring peace of mind since 1991. One disaster is enough. Don't trust the restoration of your property to just anyone. Remember, insurance related or not, it's your home and your decision who repairs it. Let the professionals at Alpine Construction restore your peace of mind. Call 519-737-0500.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. About an inch of snow ending after midnight tonight, then a 60% chance of flurries, gusty wind, and a low of -4. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, a 60% chance of flurries and a high of -2. 60% chance of flurries early Wednesday night, a low of -8. Cloudy Thursday, 60% chance of flurries and a high of -3. Once again tonight, about an inch of snow ending after midnight, then a 60% chance of flurries, gusty wind, and a low of -4.
The Morning Drive. Get up in the morning. Mike K. Cook and Lisa Williams.
Gets me in the frame of mind. It gets me in the zone.
Make me get out of bed.
On the last Morning Drive, we talked about rumors involving a Detroit Tiger. And I have, the breaking news yesterday from Tigerland, Justin Verlander and Kate Upton spotted together at a Flyers game.
I thought they had split up.
Apparently, they're back together.
Oh, that is big news.
I'm surprised the breaking news alert didn't go out on that one.
Do you have any photos of the proof of that?
You know what? I can dig one up for you there, Stephen.
I haven't seen Mr. Verlander in a while.
Morning Drive.
Traffic.
An update on the weather.
Are really funny in the morning.
On the next show at 7:50, it's the Impossible Question Contest. If you answer the question correctly, you could win a $75 gift card to Just Jeff's.
And next month, it's the In Honor of the Ones We Love Gala at 8:20. We'll speak with one of the organizers about what we can expect this year and where the money goes that is raised from this event.
The Morning Drive, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
Right now at Subway Restaurants, $3 is all you need to enjoy a 6-inch oven-roasted chicken or turkey breast sandwich. That's right, $3 for a 6-inch sandwich that's as good for you as it is for your wallet. At $3 each for a 6-inch oven-roasted chicken or turkey sandwich, you can try one in a different way every day with crunchy veggies, even freshly toasted. Smart choices never tasted this good. Just $3 each at Subway. Eat fresh.
For a limited time only at participating restaurants, plus applicable taxes, additional charge for extras.
The biggest culinary competition in the world has come to Canada.
Cook like you want this.
Yes, sir.
The nation's best home cooks battle to become the country's first ever Master Chef.
Get him on the plate.
We can't.
Racing against the clock and each other for the ultimate title.
Exquisite.
I have confidence in you.
My answer is yes.
Master Chef Canada, Monday at 8 on CTV. Brought to you in part by Kraft Shredded 3-Cheese Pizza Blend. It's perfect for pizza.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yasinski on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. And what an amazing guy Dan McGilvery is. And boy, I'll thank him in a couple weeks when I see him. But such a great insight into really what is one of the oldest road races in the country. But it's really our dearest race, and that is the Boston Marathon. And so right now I'd like to welcome the chief editor of Canadian Running Magazine, Michael Doyle, to our line. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Welcome to Running Flat Radio.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, we're going to have you on every week. Canadian Running Magazine is a fantastic magazine that I know that I pick up, and it's available at Chapters. It's available at almost every magazine outlet in our city, and also by subscription, and also online. You've got a great presence, and you guys really do an amazing job kind of keeping us coast to coast, all the information available about different runs, different gear. We're kind of like an audio version of your magazine, really.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to listening to the show. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, you know, we just had Big Dave McGilvery on, and just an amazing guy. Gave us a lot of great insight into especially health, not necessarily his running, but next week we're actually going to follow up with a couple cardiologists on what Dave talked about, because it's really interesting. It's an interesting topic that we as an industry need to keep deep diving, and that is that if we want to save lives at races, then we need to make sure that all of our runners are healthy and they're being checked out properly. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you about, is there some news that in Canada this week or around the world in running that you think is really important?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on. You'd think that in January it'd be kind of the quiet months, and we always worry that there's no daily stories to be updated on our website. But we've had no shortage of stories in the last few weeks, especially since Christmas. Actually, I was just chatting with the Canadian women's marathon record holder, Lani Marchand, who's from London, Ontario.
Nice.
She's a lawyer in Tennessee now. And she just told me that she's heading out. She's probably there now. She headed out to Kenya to do some winter training. And she's going to be training with one of the top American marathoners, Desiree Davila, who's from not far from where you guys are. She's from Michigan. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. And I know that Lani's got a big spring marathon on the horizon. It's going to be one of the big ones. I can't say which one just yet because I don't think it's been officially announced. But it's definitely one of the ones that your listeners are familiar with. So we're looking forward to seeing if she can do something great in the springtime. And I think she's become, along with Krista Duchesne on the women's side, they're two runners that are inspiring thousands of women across Canada and really have put our country on the map in terms of international marathoning on the women's side. So that's pretty exciting. Another interesting thing that has been popping up more and more in the last few months are studies about ultra-marathoners and ultra-marathoning. We're kind of going through what I would call the ultra-marathon boom right now, yep. Where it's become a real curiosity. A lot of people who have done the marathon thing for a long time, they've cut their teeth at the 42.2K, move up to, say, a 50K, 50-miler, even 100-miler. And so we're getting a lot of data back regarding ultra-marathoners. And
that we're all crazy?
Well, I don't know. You know, it depends on the person. I think a lot of people that don't do a lot of running or have never run before would say that running a marathon is pretty crazy. So I don't know. I find it a kind of a fascinating subdivision of the running world. And one study that came out shows that actually older ultramarathoners are less injury prone than younger ultramarathoners, which I found quite interesting. You'd think it would be the opposite because, you know, age would kind of take hold and have an effect on recovery times and whatnot. But apparently the body adapts really nicely over time with running. So that bodes well for runners that are thinking of, you know, running into their 50s, 60s, and 70s as well. So,
absolutely. We'll look at Eddie Whitlock, right? I mean, Eddie started at 40 and look at him now in his 80s.
Yeah, I mean, some would say that he probably saved himself from beating himself up over the years physically on the track and whatnot, because he was a really good runner in his early 20s as well. And then he took like, 20 years off or so. That's what I'm seeing on my end here. As well, as you just mentioned, you were talking to Dave McGillivray before. One little fun piece we put up this afternoon on our site was pictures of the 2014 Boston Marathon jacket, which is always kind of a fun thing to look at, particularly those that are getting all psyched up to run maybe their first Boston this year. And, of course, this year is going to be such a huge year. And the jacket's quite an interesting one. It's got some pretty loud colors. It kind of looks like the Dutch flag. It's peach and teal looking. I'm personally not sure if I'm a huge fan of it. I'm not a big orange guy, but I'm sure they're going to sell quite successfully when Boston rolls around this April.
Absolutely, and we all know they're sold out. They're going to do really well, and we wish them all the best. On future shows, we actually have Jess Pettersen, who is the Denmark's Olympic marathoner. Who trains the United States. She's a good friend of ours, and actually we at Running Flat adopted her in the last Olympics because we couldn't get Lani in. So we made her our honorary Canadian, and she absolutely loved that. So she's going to be coming on in a couple of weeks with us as well. So everyone's starting, the Olympic talk is starting to bubble.
Yeah, slowly but surely. I mean, you know, this is, I guess, what they would call a Commonwealth Games year, because we've got the Commonwealth yep. Games coming up in Scotland in the summertime. And so it's a year for a lot of the athletes, a lot of the distance running athletes to to get more comfortable with their distances and maybe try something different. I know some of the distance athletes I've been talking to that do the marathon are thinking about maybe doing the 10,000 meters or the 5,000 meters in Scotland. So, and then next year, of course, is the Pan Am Games in Toronto, which is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Be great for everyone in Canada.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, I mean, there's also the Winter Olympics coming up, which weirdly enough, one story we ran on our site a couple of weeks ago was about bobsledders that were former sprinters that are going over to Sochi in a couple of weeks. So there's runners everywhere in the Olympics these days.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us. It's Michael Doyle, the editor-in-chief of Canadian Running Magazine. We'll talk to you next week, and keep running.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you. Up next, we also want to bring to you a short talk with Tony Chow. Tony Chow is a local Windsorite. He's works for an architectural firm. Those of you who are familiar with running have probably seen Tony from time to time at the races. Great guy. I was talking to Tony last week when we started talking about how cold it was at minus 39 degree wind chills Fahrenheit in this region. So what we did was I thought, you know, I said, Tony, why don't you come on with us? Because Tony is famous for really not owning a car. Well, I think he owns a car now. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, so Tony does own a car.
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay, well, no. Let's just say you don't choose to drive a car, but you run and you cycle everywhere.
Just about, yes.
Dude, how did you do it last week?
Well, did you see my Facebook posting with the my layers I had put on the floor and taking pictures and kind of giving an explainer to people, you know, the layers I have for and, you know, what they do.
Tony, there are parts of the body that should never, ever see the light of day in that cold.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, how do you do it? How do you, like what kind of miles did you put in last week? Like time of day and what kind of temperatures are you looking at?
Let's see now. Last week, maybe about 20 kilometers running, and just for cycling, it was just to and from work. So it was maybe only, 80 kilometers, give or take.
So you did cycle in?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the really bad day, wasn't Monday the really bad day?
Yeah, that was the bad day.
You ran it?
Yeah, I ran home. Yeah, it was an adventure for sure, and something that I probably shouldn't have done, but I just did it anyways. I'm just very stubborn when it comes to things like this, I guess.
Rubber? Well, let me see. Like, runners are not stubborn. Come on. So I find this truly inspirational because most people wouldn't even get out of bed on Monday or Tuesday or go into work. Wouldn't go out and brush off their car and start it up and warm it up and drive their car into work, yet you found that will to actually get on your bike and run into work and back. That's phenomenal. It really is.
Yeah, I just make it part of my routine. And it's like what you said earlier. If, you know, you get kind of guilty if you don't do certain things. And I'm exactly that way, too.
Awesome. Tony, you're an inspiration to us, and thank you very much for joining us on Running Flat Radio tonight.
All right, great. Thank you for the kind introduction you had for me earlier.
Awesome, man. Thanks. Thank you very much for listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW, and we'll tune in next week where our guest will be John Stanton from The Running Room. Keep running.
My grandfather Nate knew that a good education can open up so many doors and great opportunities. This is something the Tepperman family has always believed in and is why, over the last 10 years, my parents, Bill and Rochelle, along with Andrew,